T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Just trying to think how we felt finishing the show yesterday. Just an hour away from
how
the press conference.
Felt.
It's the royal we. And... yeah, and then you know, I'm going to live that roller coaster.
But don't you worry. Dan and I are now matching clothing.
Now I'm trying to think of what I'm going to wear tomorrow to make sure it doesn't happen again.
There's no way you're going to wear the same thing I'm wearing tomorrow. There's no way in hell. It's not happening.
I like the texter who suggested that we both wear like painter's smocks and berets and don't say a thing. Totally deadpan.
If I had either of those things, I would do it, but I don't. Also, everybody who joked about that, like that just being the running joke of the show today, way to make me laugh too much and not be serious Bears person.
Yeah, because it's so important to be serious on this crappy football team. Thank you to Robert Mays, Sage Rosenfels. They joined us today. Thanks to Connor O'Donnell and Evan Thomas, to Rick Camp, to Mike Rankin, and to Ray Diaz, the executioner. And now... it is time to welcome Lawrence Holmes. And I have to say, Lawrence, I was here all afternoon yesterday and you know, listening to a lot was going on. Great job yesterday coming out hard with some really righteous anger with the way George McCaskey, in written remarks, had a pandering and ham-fisted segue that was really unfortunate.
Yeah, I was enraged by it. You know, Herbie and I both were sitting here looking at it and going, really? Like, that's in one breath you try to honor JD, which is great. And the Bears, for the most part, had done a really wonderful job of honoring JD. To use Parker as a jumping off point so he can do his how dare you be mean to Matt Nagy was low rent and classless. And it set the tone for what was going to be an embarrassing, out of touch hour of an old man meandering at clouds.
It wasn't as bad as last year.
I disagree.
I feel like it was incredibly disconnected.
I think it was worse because there were things that they wanted to do and they couldn't accomplish them. And even, like, for example, if George walks out there solo and handles all of that stuff, that's a better move than immediately saying Ted is on the call. Like, from that point right there,
yep,
you're making a mistake. I also think that he... later on, and I talked a little bit about this on the show yesterday, I thought that he and Ted diminished Tanisha Wade.
Yes.
In the ways that they talked about her. I'm happy that they do have a couple of people of color that are there, younger people that are there on their search committee. But at the end of it, you had made the statement that you were kind of restructuring, but not really, because Ted is going to have to be the person that pays for it. So at the end of all of this stuff, you're going to still go back to Ted. You said it earlier, Layla, and I think you were spot on. Old rich guy out of touch is how that came off yesterday.
Yeah.
I can't believe that whomever it is that he trusts did him a disservice by allowing him to do that opening statement.
Because I don't necessarily know that that's him. But it sure sounded that way yesterday.
Layla, we saw that was him, the way he reacted to the question about Olin.
Yeah, that's what cemented it for me, was just the, and then trying to have it both ways by saying, well, I'm the chairman, but I'm just a fan and an evaluator. No.
That's his way of trying to connect to the common man.
That's his way of trying to abscond to responsibility.
And it's whack. Like, it's either you're in charge or you're not.
The common man watches your football games every Sunday. This common woman didn't grow up with football in the house, yet I learned the game well enough to do this job. And I would expect if that is your one job, you could probably do the same.
It should be embarrassing for him that almost 80 years in a football family, he doesn't know anything about football. It really should. Like, it should be, he should count that as a failure that he has spent his whole life around football and can't talk intelligently about it.
But to me, from a business standpoint, it is more than okay in that position to say you don't know what happened regarding an offer in Olin Krutz. And somehow Ryan Pace ends up looking better to me because Ryan Pace takes the time on the day where he's national news to confirm to Olin that, yes, indeed, amazing, that was the offer. Like, I want to shout out Ryan Pace for that. I think he deserves a lot of credit for that.
A quick point of order here. For a long time, Wikipedia had George's age at 77. And I don't think that's right.
You think he's younger?
Yes.
John Greenberg said in the article yesterday, 60-something.
Okay, that...
Wikipedia does get ages wrong a lot,
yes,
for the record.
I know it does. And this for a long time, they had him at an age where... I don't think he is. And I did a search, and there's nothing that immediately pops up that does say how old he is. I thought he was closer to late 60s, around 70.
I did, too. And I was like, when you see, oh, he's 77. Like, that's a lot.
Yeah, I wonder if it's even still listed because I think that's wrong, but I can't. I'm right now. I don't have the wherewithal to confirm any of it. But it was a. It just should have been. And it's so easy to not make the mistakes he made, Lawrence. Like you say, had he just had another person look at his script, and there are people there. There are people that do it for a living.
I'm sure that he did have people look at his script, and those people should be gone too.
It's just a shame because one of the traits that I think we did assume out of George was that of class. And up until that point, they had shown that, especially regarding Jeff Dickerson's passing. Even the gesture they did in the press box, both at Soldier Field, on the field as well, and then also in Minnesota, just donating to his GoFundMe. Those are the things you'd expect out of the family. But
using Parker as a cudgel yesterday.
Those two moments yesterday and an incredibly
weak,
incredibly poor false equivalency, even in the realm of false equivalencies. That plus the Olin comments were just...
I mean, Layla, the whole thing was littered. Like, there are all sorts of different parts of that hour that they talked yesterday that you can go, what is this guy talking about? And even when pressed, and I thought that the Bears beat did a tremendous job yesterday, and some of the new voices of people like Herb Howard, Joseph Lewis, that were also in there and pressing questions. The question about Bill Polian is legit, man. Like, that's legit. And I understand that, and I know that the Hub and Dan Pompey have both talked about, hey, look, this guy is a Hall of Famer. That is correct. He is in the Hall of Fame, and he earned being in the Hall of Fame. That doesn't mean that he is up to the task of working football in 2022.
Right. And that is a conversation that I feel like we've had before about another team that was in playoff contention. I just can't think of it right now because I think they're locked out, but seems like a conversation we've had where we were concerned about this and just the adaptability to the game. It'll come to me eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe when they come back in June, you'll be able to figure all of this stuff out as they try to sell people spring training tickets.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah. It was a disaster yesterday.
Yes.
And the thing is that anyone that's been around George has always kind of felt like George's a little strange, like he's a little off. And as I said to you guys before they started the press conference, not great at public speaking. He went beyond the, oh, that's okay. Like he's a little bit quirky and maybe he's not comfortable. He went to using that, his platform yesterday, to wag his finger at Bears fans, to use Parker Dickerson, to pick a fight with Olin Krutz, to not answer questions directly, to try and pick a fight with David Haw, who checkmated him. I mean, there is a number of things that I don't know how he can walk away from that performance and go, I nailed that. And anyone who told him that he did is lying to him. And it's my contention that that's part of the problem with the Bears as an organization and part of the problem with George being in charge of it. Because on the surface, he looks like a nice guy. People treat him with kid gloves. And he has allowed, like, that self-helplessness that he has was completely on display. How in the world can you open up your folio, read that back to yourself, have someone else read it and check it, and go, yeah, this is the way that I want to start this thing. This is the way that I want to talk to Bears fans today. I want to do the disapproving wag of the finger for a coach that I just fired. Then you have Ted talking about, well, I don't regret it. I don't regret hiring Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. Okay, and then listing, you couldn't ask for better leaders. Yes, you can.
That's the whole point of today.
You are literally asking for better leaders because they couldn't lead you to winning football.
Thank you for that, because I noticed that too, and I was like, wow, these two men are saying two totally different things. And in addition, the word leader was used so much to the point where I'm thinking, do you even know what that means? What does that mean to you? Because to me, a leader means to serve. And that's a real problem for a lot of people. That's instead of saying, you know, I'm going to tell you guys what to do, dang it. And you know, I think to them, they think Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy were young, even though that is increasingly becoming closer to the median age of coaching and executives in the NFL. And I wonder what that means as far as their vision of it. Now, we're seeing different things as far as who they're interviewing. Thank goodness. And I love the diversity among the GM candidates as well. Let's just point that out because it stands to be credited. But I really wonder what that means when you hear these men of this age and this demographic beating their chest about leadership, what they internalize that to mean.
And how about they couldn't define that for you yesterday, Layla? Like, that's what the questions were really about. From the Bears beat reporters is trying to get them to define what leadership is. And part of the problem with George as a public speaker is that he still looks at stuff from, he toggles back and forth between red meat and corporate speak. So what he did when asked about what leadership means in a football context is he gave you buzzwords that mean nothing.
Just like his head coach and his GM who he hired.
And that's what he likes, and that's what he is often fooled
by. And just
by.
Like the head coach was criticized for collecting plays based on a system he couldn't put together, you're seeing a collection of ideas and words based on a philosophy that isn't defined.
It's just like, let's go to any corporate retreat, and then anything that is put on the walls, we're going to take words from each one of these wall platitudes, put them together, and then describe what it is that we're looking for to be as a football team. Dan, when you guys are doing transition with Mully and Haw, you said that all you have to say is winning football. Like, it's so simple. They try to make it complicated, and they want to throw Bill Polian in your face and Bill Polian's book in your face to try and give themselves street cred again. That we're supposed to be so blown away that Bill Polian would take his time and help the Bears out in this, even though we know that it's a mid six-figure number that they've given him for his time, like they did with Ernie Accorsi. And they need those stripes to sell back to Bears fans who they think they are, who they
exactly
want to pretend.
But see, but that, who you're right there, because this is what I do with these Bears press conferences last year and this year. To me, it's an endless parade of conflicts and ironies, some of which were laid bare yesterday, and I don't even, no pun intended, and I don't even think the principals involved understood that David Haw checkmated them. I don't even think they heard the trap snapping shut when Mark Potash said this idea of you are what your record says you are. Why aren't you, George, what your record says you are? Well, mommy says I'm not. And those things, like they weren't even aware of those ironies. The irony of being this, having wrapping themselves, cloaking themselves in history and in nostalgia of what the Bears mean, and knowing nothing about football. The irony of saying I am in charge and I will be the
I'm final, the decider.
I am the final decider. But I'm a fan. I don't really know anything. And then when pressed on something, well, Napoleon. We have Napoleon. He wrote a book. It's like it is any number of these ironies every year in one way or another. They don't even understand them. They don't recognize them. And we do. And anybody, we noticed one thing yesterday. Anybody with a lick of common sense was able to do that, was able to identify exactly what was going on.
It's all really unfortunate, and I always go back to the idea of that fans love something that people own, and you have the face of it. Like, it was the picture that the Tribune used today was a perfect illustration of George. The front cover of the Tribune sports section, perfect illustration of him. And all of that stuff that he has been able to kind of successfully mask because people don't want to be rude to talk about him, it all came out. Like, all of that stuff, who he is, it was on display for an hour yesterday. So for me, like, he gets no more, like, credit. Like, there's no, like, well, George cares about, like, all of that stuff that we do know about him from his time working in the ticket office and him clearly wanting to win. That's fine, but you showed your ass yesterday, and you showed everyone throughout that hour. And what it says to me about where your organization stands and your organizational strength and people who have worked for the McCaskies for 20, 25 years is that no one is either empowered to or capable of telling him that the decisions that he makes and the way that he presents himself are unbecoming and stupid. And you can do that in a nice way. When he opens up the folio to start out and he opens up with what he opened up with, it gave you a clear indication of what his messaging was all about. And his messaging is about, I'm right, you're wrong. And instead of just trying to figure out a way to get to the part where people had joy with the decision that you made, you spent an hour picking fights with people when you know that you're in the wrong. And how do we know that you're in the wrong? And how do we know that you know you're in the wrong? Because you fired your GM and your head coach. So instead of coming out here like you're some... like you're some cowboy. Like, stop it. Like, the weakness of him as a leader was on display for everyone to see yesterday. And we can stop skirting around it. He's a weird dude who has weird thoughts about a lot of things. And I'm glad that the public got to see exactly how weird he is.
Well, and I want to ask what you think, too, of the fact that he had no problem mentioning Roquan Smith and David Montgomery by name, but couldn't say Justin Fields.
The Justin Fields thing was really bizarre. I kind of tend to understand, again, where he's coming from by not limiting the pool by how they feel on Justin Fields, but doing it in such a sheepishly, like, cowardly way. Just say... And he finally got there after being pressed two or three times on the question. But you can just say, listen, I like Justin Fields. I think that he showed a lot of growth. We are not going to limit our pool of candidates on how they feel about the quarterback. He finally got there. But the fact that his brain doesn't click fast enough to get there sooner is problematic.
It just makes you think he hasn't been thinking about it like we have, for example.
Well, the other thing too, Layla, and it bothered me when he was talking about Matt Nagy asking him about Justin Fields. Part of the job of the head coach is that you have to figure out how to navigate both the 60th man on your roster and ownership. This was Matt Nagy attempting to involve the chairman of the Bears in what it is that he's doing with the quarterback. If the feedback that Matt Nagy got from George was, what are you asking me for? That means you are not an effective manager. Even if your retort is from the standpoint of being a fan, it's still feedback that the head coach needs. And in the moment when the guy was asking you for feedback, you gave him a shrug.
Well, there's also a way to do it where interpersonal interactions like that, they're not necessarily how they read sometimes. And we don't know if he says, hey, what do you think? Sometimes you end up, you're on an elevator with somebody, or you're in the lunchroom with somebody, and they're just making conversation, and they're just asking, and you're the owner of the team, and they want to know. And there's a way to say, you know, hey, man, I don't want to interfere. You know, I love this throw, I love that throw, but this is your job. I don't want to, you know, step on your toes. You know, there's all kinds of ways to do that. I remember my first year on the beat. Dave Wannstedt invited me up to his office.
Oh, Burnsy.
And he, big, you know, big office. That's old Hallis Hall. That's the head coach of the Bears. And I go, oh, Burnsy, what do you think? And I said, what do I think about what? You know, all of it. What do you think? And I knew what was going on. He's, you know, trying to give you a little ownership and, you know, keep your adversaries closer and that whole thing and work that angle. And I get it. And I sat down and I smiled and I said, Dave, I appreciate you having me here. But he said, I like to think that the head coach of the Chicago Bears wouldn't care one iota what I think.
But, Dan, that's a different relationship model. That is an adversarial relationship. This is Matt Nagy talking to his boss.
I know, but my point just being, there's a way to handle it. There's a way where it's like, I told him, get away from me with that. You are violating the protocols of our office.
I'm a fan, and I'm running away.
Right. You're making me feel weird things. You know, just be normal.
It just
be normal.
Like that says to me that he doesn't understand, one, the interpersonal relationship thing, but two, like what the hierarchical model of his franchise is. Of course, the head coach wants to know. That's really Matt Nagy asking, how am I doing?
You don't think Al Davis and John Madden had a bunch of conversations together? Come on.
I would be a fly on the wall.
Right?
In
I'd
that
love
room.
To do that.
Come on.
So, you know, what it is. So that we can have a little bit of fun, I enjoyed you guys' conversation about names. And when I had Bastian Schweinsteiger in the studio,
Schweinsteiger.
I asked him, I said, this is how I say your name. And I went, Schweinsteiger. And he goes, that's the best that anyone has said my name since I've been in America. I was like, really? So I could do like the crazy yelling thing? And he's like, yeah, do that.
It's fun to say.
Schweinsteiger.
Schweinsteiger, a stabler of pigs, a pig farmer.
That's right.
A pig herder would be a Schweinsteiger. Not to be confused with a Schweinsteuker.
That's different.
And do not make that mistake.
Do I have to dump that?
Yes.
No, you don't have to dump that.
Dump it.
No, it's a knife that was used to slaughter pigs that has since been
turned into something else.
Euphemistically, famously from Young Frankenstein, the Mel Brooks class.
Frankenstein,
yeah.
So I'm going to talk about that. I am going to open up the phone lines today and talk to people about all of this stuff. I heard you guys play Olin. I'm going to play more of Olin.
Yes.
Because I really didn't like that yesterday.
Oh, you can buy an I'm Rolling with Olin shirt for $15 at Obvious Shirts.
Someone had put, like, Olin thrown up on Instagram as a picture of him and Alex and Lance saying that should be the search committee. And so I threw into the comments and said, I would like to help out, but I can only work for $15 an hour.
I think the final test once they get it is that Olin has to punch each one of them in his face, and then whoever gets up quickest is the Bears coach.
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Although, I mean, I guess Brian Flores probably could get up. There's some guys that you would think could get up from it. Maybe.
The Olin, I want to punch him in his face test.
Can the first candidate be Aaron Rodgers? Because that would be great. So that's what I'm going to do on the show today.
Love it, Lawrence. Way to go yesterday, seriously.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That is Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi. Together, they are Bernstein and Rahimi.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.